Isn't that like the greatest stuff ever?
Hear that?
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. That's satisfactory.
What's the look here? Rips the whole entire system off the table.
Got to remember to take these off before you walk away.
Yeah. you just drag all of the mics off.
Jay Manaberry, everybody. Jay Manaberry.
Dude. Yeah, that'll work. That's better. That's better.
Yeah.
I can hear loud and clear. We're good.
Yeah, sounds good.
I feel like I've lost a lot of items since yesterday. It's good to have Jay up here finally.
We love Jay.
We're going to start a timer because these cameras like to time out. And unfortunately, that screws up our whole entire flow. I think I've lost my voice a little bit since yesterday.
Yeah, dude. And we were just getting warmed up.
Mm-hmm. Now we got our feature presentation. Oh, where? Jay Manaberry.
Yeah, right.
Jay, you've been up to New HQ a couple times, right?
Yeah, a few times.
Every time it changes, it's still a work in progress. One of these days, we're going to finally put out like a full tour of the place.
Yeah.
There's so much room that I think it takes time to like lay it out properly and how you want it. But you guys have such a cool setup that I think it'll be pretty killer whatever you do.
It was just a weird time to build a new office. It was like we were all hyped and it was like February 2020. Before everything just shit at the fan.
Right before,
yeah. And we're all hyped. We're like, yeah, we got this new place. And then COVID and everything happened. And all of a sudden we're working from home. And this place was continuously being built. And we couldn't work there. So it was just like insult to injury. And now we're finally in the last couple months phasing back in here and building things like this studio.
This is like top tier too, you know. And to see where 509 started, at least with our relationship, and now where it's at is... It's impressive.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's cool.
We've seen part of the evolution for sure. All of us have, which has been hilarious.
We should do a tour of the old place before we show this place.
Yeah, we should.
That place is a dump.
Got the job done though.
Do a before and after, a glow up.
Yeah.
The problem with a place like this though too is about if you like right now you could be like, let's just say it was like. The 10% done and it was like ready to go for a tour. But then there's like, oh no, we're going to do this next. We should wait until we get that done. And then that's like a whole like 6-8 months out, right? Like there's a lot of stuff that's already internally discussed that you have to like plan way ahead for.
I just want, we have this huge open space over here. I just want a mini ramp.
For skateboards?
Yeah. Liability, loud, dude, obnoxious.
I think on both sides of the podcast desk, it should just be a mini ramp.
We're in the middle of a mini ramp?
Yeah, and we just can slide the desk in and out.
That'd be cool.
How about a trampoline?
Jay, what are you got a little...
Nice face.
Yeah. A little flesh wound there.
A little strawberry on my nose.
What'd you do? Being a professional athlete, this isn't your proudest moment, I'd imagine.
Well, I was training. I was on a tramp doing backflips because I'm going to do one on a sled, right?
I was training.
So did two, was pretty successful. And then I don't know what happened on the third one and launched me into the freaking springs and the edge and like burnt this bridge right here.
So I
burnt a bridge.
Did you just, you slid across the edge of the trampoline into the springs with your face?
Like, were you stuck between
the trampoline? No, I wasn't stuck. It was so quick, too. Like, backflip to knees to face grind. And I ended up on my ass on the ground. And I was
so there was no net around it or anything?
No net.
Yeah.
Just rocks. Like, it was at my buddy's house. He has two kids, but they just built. Rocks. Yeah, so it's like not landscape or anything and just crude, rude ground. And I ended up on my ass.
He goes,
bleeding face.
He goes, I got in a trampoline wreck. Yeah.
Like an incident. Occurred.
It was, man.
He had a head-on collision with a trampoline.
It was like a murder scene.
Was that the dripping down your face and everything?
And my nose was bloody.
Oh, man.
Damn.
Yeah.
You're looking better,
though. It didn't hurt, though. It was so weird, but pretty good at a road rash.
How do the goggles feel on it?
They don't touch.
Nice.
It's fine.
Yeah. Lucky. Yeah. That'd be a bummer. Can't wear goggles because of a trampoline incident.
You're going to need goggles later for a moto ride.
Yeah. I'm fine. First ride of the year.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. just preseason actually, my bike.
Yeah, we know it was your first ride by how your bike showed up at my shop last night.
Well, it was kind of genius on my part, bring my bike to you.
Dude, the best part was Jay comes in, gets his bike. I tell him, bring your dirt scooter. We're going to ride. Okay. Gets there. And he's, like, checking things, and I'm like, man, does he have, like, tubeless or, like, a moose bib in the rear tire?
You thought it was my bike.
It was Ross's. I'm like, he's got a nice soft tire on this. Chase starts checking pressure. He's, like, goes through two of my tire gauges and says, none of these work. They're just reading zero. And I'm like, Jay, I think you have flat tires. Completely flat. Zero PSI.
That's long, cold winter, man.
You would have ridden it like that, too, today.
And I would have whooped your ass, Ross. Yeah. I'll show you, Iron Man.
Yeah, you just spanked me.
Oh, gosh.
It's funny how we neglect those things. Yeah. Yet you have how many snowmobiles, and you take care of those, and you got this one dirt bike and just back burner.
Well, dude, after months and months of wrenching and maintaining sleds, it gets a little jaded. I get jaded like working on stuff at least for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, around end of March, April, I kind of just, after racing's done, I'm just like, all right.
Yeah.
Now thinking about it, don't want to like kind of get lazy, honestly. Yeah. But it's a grind through like September till it never really ends. But you know how like the winter months are, you both know. So it's taxing, but
yeah.
Yeah. So.
Especially racing, you have to just have to totally run like 24 pots to make sure you're dialed in. I don't know why. Did you hear me say racing off the rip?
Racing. It was like Irish and then went to racing. Australian.
Racing on, yeah.
So but, what's the question?
No, it's just like going to comment on the fact that you have to change a lot of parts and tests and like all this stuff. Like to the average person, that's... You have no idea how much like testing and like, oh dude, it's so ugh.
Yeah,
I don't envy that part at all.
Test my belt all season by not changing it. Zero maintenance program.
Durability testing.
Yeah, that's my end goal.
The engineers told me I couldn't blow a belt. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. Do you at least set the deflection?
Oh yeah, yeah. Good. I stay on top of that. Yeah.
If
I start like losing a lot of RPMs, I just take weight out of the clutch to make up for
it. Oh no.
Instead of putting a new belt on.
Yeah.
Just start drilling holes in the clutch. Just
keep shaving weight out of the clutch.
Reflash Northwest lightweight rotating kit.
Yeah. They said take weight out, so we just got a hole saw.
Blaine is good at that.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen his mods?
Yeah.
I've seen the holes and everything.
He'll like get it all nice and pretty and perfect and then be like, this thing needs more airflow. Grabs a 2-inch hole saw, fresh Makita battery, and just... What do you think of that?
Yeah. It's just a carcass of a snowmobile.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. He loves the hole saw. He loves the drill.
Yeah, I mean...
Respect it.
The outcome is worth it when you get heat out and all that.
Those mods are nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still haven't ridden one. You ever ridden like a full Rimshaw race mod?
No.
No? No. Dude, we got to get you guys on it. It's ranked. Yeah. They're all ranked. Like even the Polaris's, the Cats, those mods are
like rowdy.
Some of the fastest and well-running, well-suspended snowmobiles in the industry, I would argue.
Oh, for sure. You roll up to Jackson on Saturday and you're like,
yeah,
oh my gosh. And then there's some, you know, like you're on the program, like you have the Skidoo support, so you get like your stuff is nasty. It's
now
sick.
That the OEMs have been having input and like building custom parts and mod sleds for hill climbing, it's evolved tenfold with like what the technology is.
Yeah.
It's super cool when you have like BRP and Polaris putting forth a big budget and a lot of smart minds, you get some badass sleds.
I know everybody, it doesn't actually matter in the grand scheme of things. It's like more the power delivery, but everybody still loves hearing like horsepower numbers.
Right.
Yeah.
Those mods, I mean, what do you think they're turning?
Probably, see, the engineers won't tell us like numbers.
Yeah.
But if we had to guess, probably 230.
That's cooking.
Which they could be more for sure, but if you can't ride it, it's not fast, right? It's so there's a fine line of rideable power and, you know, too much power.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, you've dabbled with a little bit of everything. I mean, I remember used to try snowcross.
Yeah.
That was cool, though. Cool experience. For like, sure. Totally just different.
Yeah.
Growing up in the West, riding mountains your whole life. Like,
yeah, I'm glad I did it. I obviously like to jump, and
yeah,
so that was what really drew me. And I like to race. I'm competitive, so I'm like, I'm going to try that. But it was way harder than it looked. And
yeah.
What I made it out to be, even with like, I trained my hardest that pre-season.
Yeah, I remember when I Jay raced that. Like went to the gym,
dude.
I was like fitness doing, up,
doing hours, not hours, but like an hour on the rower,
yeah,
and a bunch of other, you know, lifts and whatnot. Not lifts, but
yeah,
not Caleb lifts, but
the Jay Manaberry water cross career is my favorite though. Not a water cross racer,
no,
at all.
Because it doesn't act like a snowmobile at all. No. Like, it's yeah. completely different.
Yeah.
So it was foreign.
Yeah. I think we should revisit that, though.
Dude, don't put me on water ever.
No, Jay.
Redemption. Yeah, why? He can go back.
I actually would like redemption. Yeah. Maybe not in a racing scenario right away. That was the thing. Like, yeah. I was totally green and lining up against guys that do it every weekend. So I couldn't really, like, go at my own pace.
I don't know.
And
that Scottish guy, Stephen Clark.
Yeah. He got lucky.
You. He beat you.
He went straight.
Have you heard about this, Ross?
No.
We didn't.
Nah.
There's two sides to this story.
No, he raced laps.
He did?
Yeah. The mechanics race.
I was probably trying to, like.
The mechanics race.
So, okay. In Watercross, at this one event, every single year, they do the mechanics race, okay? And it's only like two or three laps they have to run. And Stephen Clark, we got to get him on. He's just a gem of a human.
He's
a Scottish filmer.
He's
the Scottish part doesn't really matter.
But he's the best Scottish snowmobiler alive.
Because we don't know another.
Yeah, yeah. Never
and we've him. All had great times with him. He came to film this webisode with Jay and, geez, I don't know, 6 years ago now probably.
Yeah.
Like racing watercross.
Seven.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
15, 16.
Mm-hmm. Jay sunk every race. He survived
the first
a
one. Uh-uh. I did pretty well, but then it all went downhill.
So Steven's filming it. Steven's like, mechanics race.
Yeah.
I'll try.
Yeah.
Steven goes out there, wins the mechanics race.
Oh my gosh.
And he comes up to Jay, and Jay's like kind of heated. And he goes, Jay, you're a hell of a racer, hell of a backcountry rider, but you're a horrible watercross racer.
I think he called me a one-trick pony.
I can see
and that hurt.
Yeah, that does hurt. That does hurt. Dude, we have some ruthless photographers and filmers in the industry, honestly. I saw Todd Williams
at Jackson.
And he goes, hey, yeah, dude. He goes, hey, Ross, why don't you post another hop-over video? I'm like, wow, that hurt. And then we get on the gondola, and I have this, like, vintage Lynx snowmobile hat that's, like I'm pretty proud of that I found on eBay. And he goes, we get in the gondola, and he goes, I'm going to have that hat by the time we get to the top of this. I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to get in a fist fight at the gondola in Jackson over this hat.
I asked if he could send me some photos, right? Yeah. Love the guy. Yeah. Legend. Phenomenal photographer. And he's like, yeah, no problem. And he sends me, like, 20 selects over. And I haven't asked him if it was a joke. He sends me a $7,000 invoice.
No way.
Oh, I'm like, Tom, we don't budget for this right now.
He's going to listen to this and be like, yeah, no, that was a real invoice, David.
Turning you into collections.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So funny, man.
He knows his worth, I guess.
He kills it. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude's a legend. He's shot like
T. Willie.
Everything you ever see almost in the last 10, 15 years for big advertisements.
Yeah.
Launches, whatever. Dude kicks ass.
Yeah, he kills it. It's cool to see for sure.
Yeah.
So, dude. So at Jackson, they're always very competitive, but people were like, "I'm trying to get out of it now." People were like, "Ross, you should race Jackson." And I was looking at the timing, and I'm like, "Are you kidding me, dude?" It's like everybody is the top five guys are within like a tenth of a second on qualifying.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like it's tough, stupid, competitive, like.
Well, not even that. Then the course.
And the course is gnarly, and it's just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, if I think, you know, Jackson's great because there's, like, the most spectating opportunity there. To be at the top, you're, like, there's so much more respect for, like, the boys, and you're like, it's so fun. I have so much fun just going and watching.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now go ahead, Jay.
I was just off his point of all the people and the vibe, and especially you guys, like people that are involved in the industry and friends of mine and just friends, like everyone's just a big family there and like having a good time. And there's also really good action. So it's such a cool event. I'm glad you guys come and are stoked on it for sure.
I kind of liked the new hill.
Yeah.
It was different.
I did too.
It was, let me tell you, from a firsthand perspective, it was still very challenging. Not quite as steep as the other one, but definitely not easy.
There's a lot more landmines this year.
Oh my gosh, dude. Gnarly. Like
stumps.
Stumps and like slash piles, I guess you could call them. And like, I remember going up on finals day, hauling ass through this somewhat straight section, and there's logs sticking out at me, like, pointing towards you, and you're like, oh god, I hope I don't spear a track.
After I walked the track coming down that night, I was surprised how many people really didn't have severe issues.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff was like punch a like a hole through your bulkhead.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And there's just like bulkhead smashers, like rocks, just like this big, like literally like 6 inches off the edge of like the like main line.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're like later in the day trying to find a new line or speed, you're like, you might smoke one of those.
Yeah. And the fact we can't walk it is,
well, they don't let you guys.
No, you can walk down on the one side of the fence, the spectator fence. So you can like kind of see some stuff, but that's kind of a,
just going blind.
Yeah, but it's almost a, might be a blessing in disguise, because if you knew exactly everything that was there, you might tend to overthink more than is already.
Yeah, you got enough things going through your head.
You might not go through the 23rd gate wide open.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Dude, it is gnarly.
Yeah. Yeah, you should, moral guys, you should race it next year, Ross.
Gosh. You should try it.
I know, I should go over it. I should try it.
It's worth a shot.
Yeah.
Dude, you should do the vintage class or the old-timer one.
Yeah.
I'm into that. Guy fold the tunnel in half?
For sure. Yeah.
Like, just split the snowmobile in two.
Launch the catwalk.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Got a little whiskey throttle or something and went straight up and down.
Just got cremated.
Yeah.
Just it was like folded.
Tunnel delete kit.
Soft serve freaking soft shell tacoed it, dude. Hit that.
You just drop in and just smack the lip.
I wish we could show you guys.
It was gold. Oh, it was so good. Dave and I were standing next to each other like, oh my god. We were concerned.
That one was concerning.
Yeah, that one was bad. Yeah. That was bad.
Some of those old tube chassis are rad to see, though.
So cool.
Those guys are still running that old iron up there.
Yeah. The stuff that we grew up just drooling over, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I love mod sleds, have always loved mod sleds. So seeing those, like, in present day is so nostalgic for me. It lifts me up. It's cool.
Yeah.
I want to find one and own one.
Yeah.
Either restore it or build it or whatever. You know, I think we should all get one and do some vintage rides. And
should be a vintage pro class at Jackson.
Yeah.
Ooh, any listeners should send us some links if you got any good garage finds.
Yeah.
Barn finds, sleds.
Seriously. Yeah. Even like parts, motors, chassis,
hooks. I'm going to need mine from Europe, so it's going to get expensive. I got to import.
An OG Lynx.
Yeah.
I saw this video going around. This dealer had like a 96 Polaris XLT. That had 0 miles on it. Still had the little label around the fuel tank, the little rip-off one, all the stickers and like the plastic film on the windshield.
Wow.
I think it was for sale for like $17,000 or something like that.
Jeez.
Which, I believe it. At that point, I'm like, that's kind of worth it to the right person.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. I've always wondered if sleds ever get to that point. Is there going to be one that's like a collector's item in the future? You know, like finding a mint old Mustang in a barn, you know?
Yeah.
Are we ever going to get to that?
I think so.
To a certain extent. Not quite the prices of, you know, classic cars and stuff, but you know how passionate sledders are. So if there's a model or a certain sled that is exclusive and people want it, I definitely.
I've always thought it'd be cool to have eventually, you know, find those sleds that were pivotal moments in snowmobiling. like chassis, yeah, like the first year that this changed the game and then yeah, this changed the game and have like on display in a shop. Mm-hmm. Like they're just every, whatever manufacturer it is, you know, right, something that like
right,
totally changed the sled world.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be really cool.
Maybe, and I think when we retire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have money for that right now.
Yeah.
Well, there's like, what's funny is too, you see it in the car world is changing like drastically right now. And like eventually power sports will change as well. It's like, there's not really going to be any, I don't feel like there's going to be any more like classics, like to buy, like that are like, right. Like you can go buy like an old pickup right now and it's a classic, but right, like a 2020 Ford F-150 is never, I don't think it's ever going to be a classic.
There's so many unless, made.
Yeah. Yeah. In 100 years, if it has like 200 miles on it and it's yeah, mint, yes. But it's like this, I feel like it's this weird stage, especially with everything going electric and like everybody going to yeah, like V6s, like the old big V8 days are done. So like if you got it and you can get it and it's cool and like old, it's going to be cool forever. And you're never going to lose money on it.
Yeah.
Because they're just going away so fast.
I lose sleep on things like that. Like what, if I knew what I should buy and hold on to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Like, God, I beat myself up over Bitcoin constantly.
I do too. Dude. I do too. A few coins and land.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some things like, for sure.
Oh, if we, I could turn could back all be time retired and,
right now.
Oh, easy.
Oh, yeah.
Just 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 years, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure everyone listening in their area, the same things happened because it's pretty widespread. But yeah, where I'm from in Wyoming, Star Valley,
brutal.
Dude. I'm so glad I bought when I did. Otherwise, I'd be.
Yeah. I don't you know, should have bought another 30 acres, though, right?
Seriously. One of those yeah,
classic. Yeah.
But yeah, such is life.
Mm-hmm. And the funny part is when you did it, you were probably like, oh, God, I hope this works out. Yeah. And now you're like, dang, I should have tripled down on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many things like that. I'm slowly developing. You ever watch Whistling Diesel?
Here and there.
I'm developing a slight obsession with Toyota Hiluxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, I don't even know anything really about him. Honestly, just his videos, the fact that I understand they're fairly rare.
Yeah.
And that you can't get them without importing them. And they're rad little trucks. And I'm like, I think I kind of want one of those.
Yeah. Now.
I have no other knowledge on them at mm-hmm, all, but it's one of those things that another 20, 30 years from now, you're sitting on a gold mine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think Ross and I have that gold mine with our Ford Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Straight out, dude.
I got to get on that.
Yeah. I love mine, man.
I love mine, too.
Throw a sled in it and just go shitbox.
Yeah.
Just, dude, remember we were in your neck of the woods and he pulls up and we're at this house and he just hits the garbage can and knocks it over. Like the big, like the ones a garbage
completely
truck
on purpose.
Yeah, he just,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, it was so funny.
Got to make an entrance with the.
You kind of inspired me on the Ranger, honestly. And then I started looking and found one, but
yours is sick. An 88.
What year's yours?
98.
Yeah.
Four-wheel.
Yeah, four-wheel drive.
What motor?
2.9 V6.
Huh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's still, it's old for sure. Like it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, like, mine's old and it's 10 years newer. Yeah. But
it's crazy because I think like that truck especially got kicked around quite a bit. Like a lot of those trucks became ranch trucks and became like
yeah,
you gave that to your high school boy and he drove it until it literally folded in half. So to find one that's like pretty good is
it's very rare.
Yeah. And it's the last year, the body style with like the old, like standard square headlights.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I like that. That's
yeah.
How, if you don't mind me asking, how much did you pay for that?
$4,900.
Wow. You stole it.
I stole it. Yeah. And it says on the title 176,000 miles, but you look at it and everybody that's seen it is like, there's no way there's that many on it. I think it has 67,000 on it, and somewhere between changing hands, somebody was like, oh, it has to have 100,000 on it. It's an 88.
Right.
But like you look at the brake pedal and it's like still, it's not smooth. Like there's no rips in the upholstery and like it's straight, same motor and everything. So
that's dope, dude.
Yeah.
I need a summer truck.
You do.
Yeah, dude, they're so sick.
For hunting, for just
cruising
anything.
To town.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need to drive a 2500 diesel every day.
No,
something you can throw
it's a pain in the ass.
Something your moto in the back. And
easy
go.
To park. Like,
yeah.
Real. I mean, not cheap to fill up anymore.
Yeah.
Cheaper than
still not cheap. Yeah,
30 gallon tank of diesel.
Yeah, that thing will get you.
Yeah, it's fun.
We're in that crappy in between season now. We're like still have the sled deck in.
Yeah.
It's like we're gonna ride still, but you're doing more moto.
Yeah.
And I'm that guy that just that asshole showing up with his bike on the sled deck. And it's such a pain.
It is. It's sketchy too. Yeah.
It is. You gotta have your system dialed.
I need a Ford Ranger.
Yeah. We had two on the deck coming home from the race on Sunday, and we were just like, it was like just sails going down the highway, like because they're just hard to tie down up there without having like chalks and all stuff. Yeah. And we didn't, obviously.
No, of course not. No.
Loose program.
Running gun. Running gun.
Just like keep an eye on it, Ross.
Yeah. Just David's like the biggest backseat driver ever, dude. It's crazy. He's like, whoa. He's like, bump, or like, he'll be like, you're gonna turn left up here, and then like. Be like, oh, right here. I'm like, yeah, I know, bro.
I just want to make sure we get to our destination.
You will always get there with David.
That's not a bad trait.
Yeah. You are always driving with me, so mm-hmm. When it's the opposite, you make sure you get where you're going, dog.
Well, good.
I love those road trips, though. I miss the Canada road trips.
Yeah, I know.
We need some good times in BC.
Bring that back.
We had some good times in BC.
Are you going to come? You got to come.
Yeah, I'll come.
Okay.
I was like... Those ones, I wasn't quite in the, like, film family yet. I was still so connected to Colorado that I wasn't in the, like...
Well, I'm sure you were busy.
Yeah, that was the problem. That was the problem. I just couldn't get away for it. So, but yeah. Because I wasn't in a film until, like, 10.
Volume was 10. That your first one?
It was Sane and Ryan.
Was Dan in there, too? With you?
Dan was with us, that day.
Is that the one where you... Absolutely implode the gas tank.
Yeah,
on the stump.
Yeah. Now I shoved the steering post through, like it broke the overstructure, and it shoved it through the turbo intercooler, and then broke off the injector, the auxiliary injector. So like, we had to all. I would run as long as I didn't get into the auxiliary injectors on those old like turbos.
Wow.
Yeah. So like 4,000.
Yeah. So I just cruised it and it ran. Yeah.
We've got better at not breaking so much stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to be pretty good at it.
What do you think is the attribution to that? Like
seat time for sure. Seat,
like experience or just being older and slower and less risk?
Yeah. I think part
of it might be getting smarter.
That's what we'll chalk it up.
Yeah. Hopefully. Jeez.
Yeah. I don't know. It's probably just comes with age too. I used to bend a lot of A-arms.
Yeah, I remember you doing
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have gotten so much better at riding. I think that's...
Well, because of you guys, this is the reality of it.
You didn't really have a choice.
No.
But you stuck through it.
You didn't want me for a while.
No, we still wanted you, but I don't know.
I know every single one of you has a day with me that you were like, we should get rid of this guy. For sure.
But here you are.
Here you are.
The silence just tells me that that's the case.
We'll table that one.
Well, I think I was the first one with you. I was like your first like kind of official 509 like thing was with me and Brant. And
Oh, yeah.
And that was, we're going to talk. Well, that's a whole story. Like that was a whole day. Yeah, for sure. But
You just don't want to be the guy that slows people down and.
Yeah.
There was a lot of still slowing people down.
You know what's funny is like I had a buddy text me the other day and it feels like we always used to run like aftermarket bumpers and stuff. And he's like, What bumper do you run? I'm just like, the stock one? I used to bend a lot of bumpers and stuff, but now I don't. I think it is. We've gotten better, smarter, more calculated filming. Like I think part of it too is like you get kind of used to filming, so you are I have my days where I don't execute anything. Like I really struggle, whatever, but we all do. But then like, we're just better at like getting shots.
Yeah.
Too.
For sure.
It's more like there's a 85% chance we get this shot instead of a 40% chance. And when you're young and just ready to go, you're like, well, it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Then you rip a whole side of a sled off.
And having a plan B and C for the specific maneuver.
Yeah.
Like just from doing it in the past, you can like kind of imagine
gauge of things.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, so if it doesn't work here, then I can bail here, and everything will still be fine. Instead of just hitting it raw, wide open,
yeah,
no plan.
Jay can get moody though.
Why?
If things aren't going Jay's way one day,
what?
You'll fall into this little dark hole.
I'm passionate.
Yeah. But sometimes,
I will too. Yeah.
I just get quiet and I'm either thinking about like doing something or trying something again, or I get hangry. Need a Snickers.
Hangry.
I'll give it to you guys though, because everything's fighting us always.
Yeah.
Mother Nature, everything, and no matter what, you guys do give 100% if the conditions allow. Because I think we know we're all out there. We've all put the time aside to do it. We're invested in this, and like, sometimes you got to deal with the punches, and Mother Nature is so unpredictable.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a roller coaster.
This winter, especially, dude. Oh. This one was brutal.
Yeah. Probably the worst I've ever experienced or that I can remember.
Yeah. It was gnarly. It was crazy. Tough. It's like, what's funny about it too on the filming side of things is I've been around some like snowboard and like mountain bike and other sport bigger shoots. And for us, it's like, all right, we have 3 days. We have to shoot an entire segment.
Yeah.
Go. Mm-hmm. And you're like, the snow's like garbage.
Right.
And we're like, well, we got to, this is all we have. And we have 3 days and we go, go, go. Like, some of those programs are quite different. They're like waiting on sun and building jumps. Like, but, you know, they're obviously creating films that take 2 years to produce and stuff like that. And it's a totally different, ginormous industry. But it is funny, like, I sometimes watch that where I'm like, oh, dude, that would be nice if we could just kind of chill on that for a second. The flip side of that is I've worked with filmers who come from that industry, and they're like, we kill it on a day on a sled, or, like, even on the moto the other day with a buddy, we killed it, and they're like, dude, we got, like, 40 shots today. Yeah. If we were on skis, we would have gotten one. Yeah. If we were mountain biking, we would have gotten, like, 2 good clips. So when it's good, it's good. But when it's tough, you're just grinding and just forcing things, and then that's when you get a little like you kind of get moody because you're like, God,
it's nothing against anyone in the crew, it's just like, man, I wanted this to work out and it's everything's against you.
But we fought it this season. We were gonna come back and film another webisode, and it was like high pressure for a month and a half. Didn't snow. I remember cold, I came back down there. We filmed that in January, and I came back down in March, and it hadn't snowed.
There was less snow.
Yeah, it just got warm.
Yeah.
But nobody, that's what's kind of fun to talk about. It was like, nobody really realizes that side of it. I'll get people like, why don't you put out some more stuff? I'm like, dude, we can only do so much what Mother Nature allows.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not safe for you guys.
Well, that too. Like,
you had a close call this year.
With what?
Low snowpack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was pretty lucky. I mean, landing on a rock by my side. I should have known better, but it was novel for me because that time of year in that zone, there's always deep snow, always good. And I guess I just got complacent and was like, oh, it looks good.
Yeah.
That was when I was like, holy shit, this snowpack is bad.
We are down.
We're bad.
Yeah. And that was like the day before I came to film.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so that kind of like put a damper on.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, all right, we're just going to ride trees because this isn't worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
safety first, boys and girls.
For sure. Because you get hurt and you're not riding.
Yeah.
You're not.
It's your career.
Then it affects everything else in your life, right?
Yeah.
Like, right.
So
you have other projects lined up.
Yeah. Heaven forbid Jordy has to take care of you all the time.
She'd get so over me.
She already deals with enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless her heart.
Bless her heart. Love you, babe.
Dude, we had the April storm. You got the April storm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the April storm literally saved my life.
Brought me internal pain after chasing you guys around all winter.
I know.
Dude, I mean, my comment on or my caption on my thing was, I don't know if my mental needed this storm more or our water at home.
Right.
Like,
no shit.
I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This clips you posted on Instagram were insane.
Yeah, dude, it was. You and Andy, that was stupid deep.
Like, no bullshit. One of the deepest days of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was such a shock because, for one, it's April after months and months of like no snow. So that's kind of just in your head, but then we like rolled up on the trail and it's coming over the hood on the trail. where I've never seen it before. And it's like, is this real? Like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then all you're thinking is the higher up you go, it's going to get
deeper. Yeah, and it like did, man. Yeah. It was like a record setter, I think. I don't know. It was.
Yeah. Those are the best days ever when you can gauge it off the parking lot.
Yeah.
Like somewhere you go a lot and you know, like, oh, okay, like, there's like 4 inches in the parking lot. It's going to be really good up high. But when there's like over a foot in the parking lot, like, we might not make it any higher.
And you just look at your buddies and just chuckle.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, dude. This is going to be sick.
You're going to be stuck.
Yeah.
Or it's like so deep that April storm for us was so deep that it kept guys. It like if it would have snowed a foot, everything would have been tracked out. But it snowed so much that the majority of guys weren't even going, couldn't go, or like were scared to go get too stuck.
Right.
And I was just like head cut off on my turbo, pinned everywhere.
Yeah. Just out of gas in record time. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I love this snowmobile too. Cause when you ride bad snow, you're like, it's just so much more labor intensive. Yeah. You know, regardless of you, the thing about deep snow is you get stuck and then it's labor intensive. But when it's not, you're just on a cloud, just
seriously
pinned,
like
jumping off of everything,
and floating, and it's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not really a snowmobile that's designed for shitty snow conditions.
No, like they do good. Like,
they get around
for what, but it's not what they're
not the same
designed for.
Yeah, they all shine once it's 4 foot of pow.
Yeah, yeah. They do. They do what they're supposed to, and we didn't.
Which, what do you get? What are you pressing over there?
Yeah, that I just keep thinking about this button.
You just drop in and just smack the lip.
Whoa,
that's what that April pow day was like, dude. I was just foaming at the mouth.
If you asked me what I thought, that's what I would have said.
Oh, Jay. I've been meaning to ask you this because I legitimately forget, and that makes me feel like a bad friend. What are you doing in the summer?
Last summer, I worked with a buddy doing framing.
Yeah,
his house actually, which was cool because
was that shop house?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Goals.
Dude, it's sick. And my thought process is, at least learn that to a certain extent, to where maybe I could build my own. Yeah. In the next few years, because I'm stoked with the house I have now, but you know, obviously I want to build a big shop and something to suit our needs. But so yeah, that was my thought, was work in the valley too. Didn't have to go to Jackson, which is brutal. Once you've driven to Jackson every day for work,
yeah,
I mean the drive's nice, but every day is taxing. Yeah. So working in the valley and learning a new skill was cool.
You've done some ranching too, huh?
Long time ago. Yeah.
I remember you went back down south and did a little ranching.
Yeah.
A little Blaine Matthews rub off on you there?
No. Different. Like, he's a cowboy.
Like normal ranching.
Yeah.
You're like, just checking fence.
Yeah, changing wheel lines and putting up hay. He's like doing surgeries on cows.
Yeah, dude.
Doing some like Yellowstone shit. Yeah. Not the killing, but just killing.
There's no like, train station.
Mine is the killing.
There might be in Pinedale. I don't know.
It is a wild west.
It literally is, especially on a 50,000 acre ranch.
Yeah.
We got to go out and spend a day with Blaine on the ranch.
We just need to get him here.
Yeah.
Seriously.
We're going to have to set some guidelines, though.
Yeah. It's going to be hilarious.
Yeah. One of a kind. Gosh, what a roster we have.
After hanging out with him, I texted my brother, who's like also a cowboy. And I was like, I just hung out with your hero. Like if my brother hung out with Blaine, it would be over. You'd think he was the coolest guy ever.
Yeah.
Because his stories, you don't believe him until he's telling them. And then when he tells him, like, for some reason, I believe you.
Well, then he's like, and got photos and videos to back
like,
it up. Yeah.
He's like, here you go, check this out.
And we're like, no, you're full. You're not full of it at all. Yeah.
No bullshitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he keeps it real.
Dude's a wild animal. You just meet him through racing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, he's my best friend. One of my best friends. So happy to have met him, and we're going to do some cool things.
The Jay and Blaine Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a rip. I
keep pushing it on the webisodes, you know.
No, it's like, working. People are working. Asking for merch.
Yeah?
We got to figure out like a filmer, I guess.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
that's what you guys need. You need somebody that's just
there.
We need
like a Micah following us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being a part of it, too.
But yeah.
But somebody to film and produce
or
it
for you, guys. But you live in freaking Oregon.
Nobody lives there.
Yeah.
Nobody.
A lot of people live
nobody
there,
that matters, though, besides you.
What about my parents? They live there.
Just up and move your whole operation. Get the family over.
I got a room for you.
Yeah, I know. I am out there for sure.
Yeah, you're like on the beach. He's not even near the mountains. So disconnected.
So disconnected. And I spent a lot of time in the truck these last couple of years. Right. So,
yeah, because you live where nobody else lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your own fault.
Dude, but when it's good, it's good.
Oh, you're just telling yourself that. No. I'm sure it's good.
Once a year.
Yeah, compared to a lot of other places.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Well, you know what's funny is there's a lot of sledders there, but there's no industry.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, we know.
Okay. Right. Okay, no, just making sure that you
that's,
guys.
That's kind of what I meant.
Yeah. Why when I just checked it out.
Yeah, they're like nothing.
Yeah. No.
The funny part is the parking lots are full and stuff, but it's just not. The industry isn't there, which is, I don't know. It's weird. It's funny that there's not more like, I don't know. There's some shredders, but there's not a ton. And I think it just because you run out of snow faster or run out of terrain to ride.
Yeah,
you got to get really creative. Like, I got my honey holes that I won't show anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, if you rolled in, we'd go ride them. But, like, if you live here, no way I'm taking you in there.
Yeah.
Because I need to be able to go in there when it hasn't snowed for 2 weeks.
Right.
Right? Like, those are the ones you protect.
I got the same stuff back home.
Yeah.
Jay just has stuff that terrifies me. I had my first ever anxiety attack last winter with him.
Yeah, that's big country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know I could have one of those.
It was weird.
It just happened. Like, he was...
Yeah.
Like Blaine had to come and like talk me down.
Yeah.
It was just, it was not an ideal situation to be in. Jay didn't even bat an eye at it. And I'm like full blown panic attack.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pre-planning that went into and consideration. Still like definitely exposed to some risk, but.
I knew we were fine, but it just,
Everything
started going through my head at once.
What, cliffs, trees, like. Just not terrain trap. Just big. Oh, yeah.
Terrain trap. That we had to cross it. We did all safely, one at a time, everything. And just had, I don't know what. I think I was thinking about it and screwed up in a dumb spot.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like really exposed. And then all of a sudden, my brain started going a million miles an hour. What could happen?
Yeah.
And I'm like scared to like make movement.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to set something off if I step here.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I just like locked up.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's okay, man. It's good for you. It makes you aware of things.
Yeah, it does. And it's a good, like, check system sometimes.
Yeah.
To just keep it refreshed. Like
sobering moment here and there.
Yeah. Just
level you out.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's the real deal out there. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't, on so many levels, there's so much going on. And, like, you're riding a 600-pound snowmobile full of fuel that has 220 horsepower through the woods at 40 miles an hour. And it's like, and we're like,
God, we get lucky so
and
much.
And we're just like, you think about the re-entries we do now, you just like throw the sled like above your head and just kind of like huck it and it lands on its side and you hop back on it and just ride it out like it's no big deal. But like, really, that's a lot of mass just like, whoa.
And you're 20 miles from any civilization.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if there's any hint of weather, you're not getting a live flight. There's no ambulance that can pull up to you and throw you in the meat wagon. So,
you got to keep your stuff together. That's why you got to keep your crews tight, you know?
For sure.
And that's the tough part.
And versed in, you know, some basic rescue and, you know, have sat phones and some way to just cover your ass.
Yeah. Does anybody ever do bathroom breaks in the middle of podcasts?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do it all the time. No, I kind of got to go too. Let's just pause it.
You're going to leave me here by myself? Yeah, you're going
to. Oh, gosh. Where were we? We had to take a mandatory bathroom break there in the middle of this. I've been pounding water because I'm just getting ready for tonight's dirt bike ride.
Getting ready for battle.
It's going to be a lot of sweating.
Oh, no.
Ready? Fight.
Throw me into the gulag of my first ride.
Welcome. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going tech, logs, old growth forests, wet, slick, mud, roots.
Jay's like, oh my gosh.
Jay's like, I gotta go home.
No expectations. Are you gonna film any of it?
Maybe just for my own.
Should we just bring phones and just get phone filmy with it?
Yeah. Start doing like some buttery phone edits.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Phone edits are banging, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do more. I get so lazy with the phone because I also feel like I hate being the guy holding his phone out for everything.
Yeah, but it's tough. I always miss the moment with the phone. It's hard like to... Yeah, it sucks.
But as of late, I've been just pulling it out whenever I think something might happen. Yeah. Because it's easy to delete something.
Right.
But
yeah, we got to do that.
Catch some gold when you film.
Yeah. We got just my misfit gang of local guys, too.
It's going to be. Your buddies?
Yeah. We're going to have a good time.
Ty heard that we were going to be here, so he's like, let's go into the hard things. Like, he's like, yeah.
Is he good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good rider.
He's a pretty good rider.
Really good hard enduro rider.
Yeah, it's funny. So we did a little race, right? And he's like, before the race starts, he's like, yeah, dude, I'm not really a fan of the mud. Lap three, it was muddy. I go through the mud pit, and here he is, stuck, pushing his bike backwards. And all I thought was him saying how much he hated mud earlier.
The best part is the race is called the Muddy Butt.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, then it was Muddy Butt. It was bad. Dude, you know what I just learned is there's a gym in this building.
Mm-hmm. Really? A guy?
Haven't told you about it because I
no excuses
figured you wouldn't hang out with me anymore.
Yeah. I didn't know there's one in here. That's cool.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Is it like a 509? Gym?
No, it's just like a shared commons area. Do you do any gym stuff like off season? Be honest, it's okay.
Historically, no. In Star Valley, they're just so crowded and small, and it's like, I don't know. It's hard for me to get comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Star Valley almost needs like a big one. It's that big to have something big there now.
So there's been one in Afton for years, and they just opened a new branch in Thane, which is close to me. So probably should start going
there. It's overrated.
Well, that's kind of what I thought.
Thank you.
But you got to get your exercise somehow, right?
Well, so
dirt bikes and like outdoor activities, running or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or not.
Dirt bikes are pretty.
Ross makes me feel like just a pile.
I know.
Here's the problem now is I'm like addicted to it.
Which is a good place to be. Yeah. And I see that from Andy too.
Yeah.
Andy Thomas.
Andy's all about it. Yeah.
And from back in the day when I did work out like pretty regularly, I know I felt better just across the board. So I need to get into that.
Doesn't always help my riding, but.
No, it's probably, we should tone it down the liquor too a little bit.
Yeah. That's.
Is that you talking or the liquor?
Who's having this conversation here?
Dude. Rip Jim Leahy. Yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you the problem. This is what I did. This is shout out to my boy Marcus, who I train with all the time at Boss. And like we have an unbelievable gym. That's also like the facility's unreal. It's so sick. And so I started training with Marcus. And now... Marcus and I are like homies, so I like don't want to do it any other way. So I just pay him like pretty expensive, like a lot of money, but it's like working out with a buddy, which is fun. And he like, I don't have to think about it. I just walk in and he's like, he has goals for me that are terrifying. I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, dude, end of summer, you're going to be doing this. And I'm like, oh gosh. And there's like certain, like I do these certain things and he holds me accountable and that's what's cool about it. And we're like, we'll hang out outside the gym and stuff and text each other. And it's cool. That's the fun part. But he kind of tricked me. Now I like the guy so much that I'm never going to leave.
I need a Marcus.
I need a Marcus in my life. I'm looking for a wife.
That's been Ross's catchphrase all week.
especially after we talked about your dry spell.
He's taking wife applications, not girlfriend, just straight to wife.
Ladies.
Looking for a wife.
He's a good dude.
You got a lot to offer.
Yeah. I do, yeah. It's been a lot of...
He's just too damn picky.
Very picky. That's the problem.
Yeah. You got to compromise, Ross.
Yeah.
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 You're young, though. Don't go searching for it every time you do that.
Yeah, don't go chasing waterfalls. Yeah.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
And then this is how it always happens. As soon as you're not looking for it, then it happens. And then you're like, here we go.
Yeah.
And then you're stuck in a 4-year relationship that you hate. Yeah. Classic Ross. Classic Ross.
Just dips off the face of the earth.
Yeah. Disappears.
Gone.
Yeah, that's bad. You can't do that, though. Mm-hmm. No.
Relationships, man, that's just like...
We're tough to deal with, too.
Oh, yeah.
Our schedules, yeah.
You especially. I can't believe girls put up with you.
Yeah.
Not like anything against you, but your work schedule is...
It's so sporadic, too.
Yeah. And it's long.
Yeah. It's the, like, at least you with your racing, you have set dates already.
Yeah.
Like, and she's coming with. Yeah. Mine's like, depending on weather, it'd be like,
hey, I'm going to Alaska.
Yeah. For 3 days before, find out. It's tough. It's a tough schedule.
Yeah.
And you have, you home base kind of your, like, racing program out of your house and, like, your garage. So you can, like, kind of, it's a little bit better.
You can meld the at home life with the racing, something or like the sledding.
A good balance.
Yeah. I think so. Jordy, is it good?
Oh, we got a caller. It's Jordy.
She says we're over.
Calling in.
Shit.
She doesn't even know where you are. She thinks you're at work right now. 9 hours north.
Yeah. 9 hours away. Oh, gosh.
It's like that meme. I went to India. Not Indiana.
Can you imagine not realizing that until you're halfway there?
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a few
I've had
people.
Some travel schedules that are just a blur.
You're
confused on time zones, and you just run into connections. And
Checking in, this and that.
Yeah.
Paper tickets or I don't know.
Yeah. Have you been overseas?
Yeah. No.
I haven't. I think that's something you remember.
Does Hawaii count?
No. I mean, it's technically over a sea, I guess.
Yeah, so.
Or an ocean.
But, like, no Europe.
No. No, I need to, though. There's a lot of places I'd love to go, obviously. But actually, on that note, I think Jeremy Mercier, Tony Jenkins, and I are going to go to Chile in August. Yeah?
Nice.
I think, yeah.
That's on my bucket list for sure.
Wow, Tony. Thanks for the call.
Well, you ride Lynx, so.
Yeah, different.
I just do my own thing. No.
Yeah, you're a different program, dog.
Yeah. No. We should do a
Sweden trip. That will be super fun.
You've done it, obviously, with Brent. Yeah.
I almost went last year again, so I'm not opposed. I will go back for sure.
Yeah.
So
it's tough to get there.
Have you been to
Chile? Just like the logistics, I feel like. You've done it enough.
Yeah, it's the travel isn't bad.
Yeah.
And there's a good, like, I have with Sled Chile, a good in and infrastructure. Like, he can help with whatever. As long as you get the sled shipped and stuff, it's...
That's the part, though. That's
what I'm wondering. But if you don't have the connections, luckily, now I know who I can call and they can help, so...
Let's just all go.
All right.
Together.
Together.
One big happy family.
I gotta send a sled. Are you sending a sled down?
No, they have them.
They have...
It's not Sled Chile, it's...
It's
Andy, I think.
Yeah, you're gonna be north, like in the taller peaks, with like Reggie.
Okay.
Yeah. Stellar.
Oh, really, Reggie Christ?
Yeah, Chris? Reggie Christ. Yeah, that's Tony's like guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Stellar Adventure. Media? Yeah, Stellar Media.
I don't know. I just work here.
Yeah.
We're gonna be like that guy. I went to Cancun instead of Chile.
Yeah.
We're on the beach.
Jay just brought like all his snow gear and he's just like, I had to go buy shorts.
Wearing my thermals.
Yeah. Base layers.
Ross and I were talking about this, and are you super bad at taking actual vacations?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why there's a mental block on that.
I think because everything we do, not everything, but a lot of what we do is super fun. So it's like a vacation.
Yeah. I think also you're gone so much in the winter that everything at home gets put in the back burner.
Yeah.
So like summer is like vacation.
Hurry and catch up
to
on
like
all the shit.
Do stuff at home. Yeah. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like heydays in September. And
yeah.
We need to take a damn vacation.
I know.
Group vacation.
Like a legitimate vacation.
Yeah. I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
Right?
I know. Like, you got to go like surf or like do like, I at least have to have something there.
Something physical. Yeah.
Like I'm so big into exploration. So something where you could like go see.
hikes like or ruins history. Or
yeah. History, yeah, something historical. Yeah.
Somewhere of mimosas, too.
Yeah.
Probably be drinking a lot.
What I want to do is I want to go to Costa Rica Unlimited. That's that moto place in Costa Rica that has, like, you just fly in, they got the bikes, and you go, and you can ride, like, gnarly single track and stuff. And it has, it's like a full resort, too.
Like, tropical?
Yeah. No, like, on, like you can rainforest? Surf. Yeah.
Ooh, like, that sounds sick.
Here's the problem, though. This is the only problem is their best time to go is, like, December, January for moto stuff.
So we're never going.
No, yeah, so we're never going. But shout out to Costa Rica Unlimited. I see you guys out there. You guys are killing it. And I want to come hang out really badly. I might do that by myself, dude. I don't even care. Just roll up. I'm here to destroy these single track trails.
Your OEM sponsor's wondering where the heck you are for the shoot.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be like at this like big links thing. He's like, Ross is in Costa Rica riding motorcycles.
He's on vacation. Yeah. Ever heard of it?
Ever heard of it? Quit calling me. I'm on vacation. That's yeah, like vacation, boys.
Where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you? We need you. Yeah. You're fired.
You weren't supposed to change that flight.
You used your credit that we paid for.
They book the flight for me and I change it to Costa Rica.
Upgrade to first class. Yeah. And then send him a bill.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Man. Just kidding, Pascal. We would never do that.
I've never done that. Not even once.
Yeah, I need to do it. And then I was talking about vacation. I'm like, oh, I'm going to come down and visit you guys. Like, I'm going to go to Wyoming in the summertime. And that'll be my vacation, which is still like...
Which, it would be cool.
We'd all be doing the same stuff, but I'm never there in the summer. I know. All these places, I'm like, I gotta go in the summer. It's beautiful. Yeah. I just know what it looks like with the landscape covered in snow.
That's how I feel about BC.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a fun summer trip.
Yeah.
There's some good moto up there, too.
For sure.
Gotta have that adrenal kind of like fix and be able to push yourself in a certain way.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, throttle therapy, that term... Rings true. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Legit.
Yeah.
And Jay's been working on his backflip, so.
Yeah. Look Don't out. Expect one anytime soon. Still got some work to do. But.
Remember when you tried the barrel roll?
Yeah.
That footage was never like shown.
Super half-assed. Not the right setup, obviously. And
what a confusing rotation. It was just
you, me, and Trent.
Yeah. In the middle of the Alaskan backcountry.
Yeah, I'm like, probably shouldn't.
Time and a place.
Yeah. Time and a place.
Yeah, I don't get the rotation. I shot Andreas in volume 14 up in Revy when he did the barrel roll, and watching the just trial and error on it and the rotation, he didn't even like build the lip off camber. It was relatively straight. And the way he tucked and worked the brake and the throttle, it still made no sense to me.
Yeah.
And I think it took him like 15 tries to land it. And by the end of it, the sled was so smashed. And it was a sled they had flown in for him or something. And
yeah. It was like a black and yellow Lynx.
Yeah. And he had, the whole hood was gone, and he was putting the pieces in the little glove box in the top and breaking them smaller to get them in there so he wouldn't leave any piece in the backcountry. He landed it, but if you look at the footage, the sled's mangled.
Yeah.
There's no headlight left. Like, we were zip-tying stuff together for each shot. But that rotation... Dude, wild.
Super hard.
That's partially why I haven't tried it again, is I still don't fully understand it. And I'd rather have someone like him there, or Turcotte, or, you know, somebody that can kind of walk me through it.
Yeah.
I mean.
How many guys have done it? That Adam kid in Sweden, that Articat rider?
What?
I don't know how to say his last name.
No, but like what?
Barrel roll.
Oh.
Oh, a barrel roll.
Yeah. Barrel roll. I mean, I've really only seen Bergmark. Like,
sorry, that's what I've been talking about this whole time. It's a barrel roll.
Yeah. We're just talking like flips and stuff. Yeah. But
I think there's only been two that I know of.
I've only seen Andreas.
I've only seen Andreas do it.
That Adam kid.
Sweden did it.
Yeah.
Swedes are building.
And he did it on a short track, a snowcross sled, which is wide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Built different.
Built different, dude. It's crazy.
Part of me is like, I want to do that, and I kind of feel an obligation as an athlete to like get to that level. But part of me is like, is it worth it?
Yeah.
That's something that has to be a personal goal and not.
It's a tough one to throw away too when it's going wrong.
Right. Especially like being discombobulated in the air. Like, if you don't know the exact movements, to do. You can get lost real quick and it's, end up under your sled.
And it seems like the place it stalls the most is directly on top of you, upside down. The rotation just stops. Yeah.
And there's a lot of extruding hard parts on a snowmobile. Mm-hmm.
It's like Canada's the place, but I don't understand how the healthcare system works there if I do get injured.
Yeah. Apparently it's pretty good.
I've heard bad things from Canadians. So as an American being up there and getting hurt, it's like...
Are you just stuck in Canada? They deport you just like
you're broken.
You're stitched together and they send you to the border.
Slap a Band-Aid on you.
Just put you in a gurney and just roll you through border control. Yeah. Like, good luck.
And then they question you at the border. Yeah. What are you doing here?
Yeah, the border agent's
where do you work?
Yeah. He's like, we're going to have to dismantle your gurney.
Yeah. We're going to have to search you.
Yeah.
Oh, the border.
It's a scary place.
It's a scary place.
Whether you're a convict or...
or not.
Or a law-abiding citizen. Yeah. It is.
Yeah, you're all on an equal playing field once you get to the border.
You lose all your rights.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Gosh.
It was funny. My first, not a bad run-in, but like one time they were questioning me pretty hard. They thought I was working up there. And I was there for hours and hours. And he goes, let me see your phone. And I'm like, I'm no lawyer, but this doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
But I didn't question it, so I gave it to him. And I just made a post on Instagram, like, right before. And it was just blowing up with, like, notifications and likes. And he's, like, getting all frustrated. Yeah. And then he's like, you're popular, aren't you?
You're like, I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah. No, I didn't say that. But eventually they let me go. They found my... tax return documents in my truck. I don't know why I still have them, but that saved my ass. They're like, oh, he's got
really?
A job. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
They were convinced that I was working up there.
Just in the snowmobile industry or just who knows what?
Specifically guiding for Cooster.
Oh, because you're riding out of there. Yeah.
But it was like, I don't know the terrain. I'm not going to go guide. Yeah. Like, I'm going to get guided.
Yeah.
Essentially.
That's the funny part is you can... Like, I've been up there for work, so to try to go now for out with not working as a snowmobile, is like, that's the scary
you.
Part.
They're like, are you really?
Yeah.
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 The funniest thing is we're all just so innocent. We're just like, we just want to go ride snowmobiles.
No, literally, and I've said that almost every time. I'm like, I just want to go ride up there, man. You guys got it going on.
We're just
going
to pump some money in the economy and then just carry on. And I get it. They got a job to do. But it is like, I will be doing everything by the book and be like, scared shitless when I pull up to the border.
For sure.
I'm like, I look suspicious for no reason.
And then you choose your words differently just because you like overthink it. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I should have just not said that.
I like can't make eye contact.
I know.
I'm always looking up and then back down and back up and back down.
Yeah, what do I do with my hands? Yeah. Like, is it weird to touch things? And then the whole conspiracy of they have like microphones.
Before.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like they're listening through your car.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I wouldn't put it past.
That's crazy. Yeah. The like it wasn't bad, but I went up there in December of 20.
Oh yeah, you got to tell this story.
Yeah. So, this was before Lynx came, right? Like nobody knew what was going on. I had like just signed the contract, had never even ridden the snowmobile. It was just like making the leap. So, they want me to ride the sled. We go up to to film it. And I fly in, and I have to strict quarantine for 14 days. I had a 56-page document describing who I was, what I did. It had, like, all of my, like, social media metrics on it because they were proving to the border that I was
essential
for this project for then this corporation to make money.
Right.
Like, and I had to get a visa and everything. And I had a lawyer's, like, cell phone number on, like, speed dial. Yeah.
Dang. Did you get over fine?
Yeah, I actually did get over fine. It was, like, pretty... Because it was only workers going through. Like, it was... So, if you had your stuff, you were fine. But it was definitely, like, nerve-wracking. And then just got picked up at the airport by a guy. And he drove me to a condo. And I chilled in a condo for 2 weeks with Colton. And
some funny stories out of that one.
Oh my gosh, Colton.
And the polar opposites between you two, like, comes to mind is you'll be working out, like daily, and yeah. he'll be like making fun of you on the couch drinking Coors Light.
Yeah, he had like a Coors Light and an Otter Pop. Yeah. He's like, there's two different kind of athletes out there, and he's drinking a Coors Light, and then he pans to me, and I'm on the patio like jump roping. Thank God I found like in that condo I found like some kettlebells and stuff, and there was an outside patio, and I could at least like move around a little bit and stuff.
Yeah,
14 days.
Yeah, it was that's strict gnarly. 14 days.
It's.
And then we rode the sled for two and then flew home. Like, that was it.
16-day commitment for
for two days on the sled. It was crazy.
The funniest part about going to the border is the instant, like, sense of relief for doing nothing wrong.
Yeah, right, you're right. For crossing
like, I made it. Line, and you have no reason not to make it.
Yeah, but and it's like Christmas.
Yeah, and then you go back and you got to go through it all over again. Yeah. The U.S. side's a lot easier, I feel like.
I don't know. I've had bad run-ins coming back, too.
I got tore apart once because I, you know where you can put your sunglasses on the top of your truck there in the little tray? I had like a loose 9mm round.
Oh, sitting, you're done.
Sitting yeah. under Terrorist. My sunglasses.
Get out.
Yeah. Just didn't see it there. It was under my sunglasses, you know, and they're standing up there, you know, and they look down, they see it, shred the whole truck apart.
Oh, dude.
And I understood. I'm like, I get it, whatever. But the whole time I'm like, am I going to be like on a no-fly list now?
Right.
Am I banned from Canada?
Oh, that's a nightmare, dude.
Yeah.
Because that happens. Like, they can do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be one of the worst things I can think of, honestly.
Yeah.
I love that place.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people. So.
Well, then you flip the script, and I just roll up. The guy had a sled deck, and I had an ammo can with tire chains in it. Like, that's where I put my tow truck. Yeah. I had a 50, like, a literally artillery, like, big 50 cal ammo can right under my sled deck. And I always, that's like how I carry stuff. And the border agent walks behind my truck, opens my tailgate, goes, "What's in the ammo can?" I go, "Tire chains." And he goes, "Cool." Poof, shit slams it. And he's like, "See ya."
Yeah.
I'm like, and it's like midnight at like a border where nobody's there. Like,
right. Super suspicious.
Yeah. It just doesn't even. Yeah. So it's like.
It depends on the agent. It does. For sure.
Yeah. They'll get you though.
My last go around in December, Tony Jenkins and I went up to ride. And luckily we got one of the coolest border agents that I've ever talked to. And we hand him our passports. He looks and goes, "Oh, I've seen you in 509 films."
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Sledder.
That's rad.
Yeah. He recognized both of us. And from there we were golden. Like, he's just like, "You guys got your shit together."
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have a good trip.
Yeah. It's goes one of two ways, either smooth sailing or you're there for the inevitable future.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So one time,
at band camp.
Yeah, one time at band camp, it was crazy. We went to Chile with Chris and I. Like, this is, and Phil Weibar was with us. It was us three, I think, flying across together. We brought a whole motor in a checked bag.
No way.
Yeah. We checked an entire long block motor.
Like, torn apart into various bags?
The whole thing.
Assembled.
Yeah.
Drop in.
Wow.
There's literally like fuel leaking out of the bag. Oh,
that's the biggest no-no.
Dude, it was like,
that's like equivalent to just bringing a bomb.
Oil. There wasn't fuel. It was just like greasy and oily and stuff. We brought a crankshaft across one time, like in a check bag. They didn't like the crankshaft either. They couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah.
The motor. Yeah. How we got the like an 80-pound checked motor was crazy.
Can I ask why?
We had to put it one in a sled that Chris had sent down there.
He sent a blown up sled down there?
No, like, because, you know, those sleds got ran until they were done because it's so hard to get parts and stuff. Yeah, so I can't remember, like, why we brought a motor, but we needed to rebuild a sled or something. And, it was, like, 88 pounds, the bag, and all it had was a motor in it.
Cost to check?
I had a couple $100 to check, but it was more so like, is it going to make it through or not?
Right.
And it was just,
It made it though.
Somehow got it through. Wow. I can't believe it.
No damage?
No damage, yeah. Because you kind of like, you are actually, when you fly into Santiago, you collect your bag and you watch them put it through. So you actually have, like, you can get your say. It's not like Vancouver or whatever, like you don't even see your bag and it's just like, if they have any question, it's up to their judgment. There, you have a little bit. Well, Chris goes through and he has like the crankshaft. This one he had the crankshaft. He goes through with the crankshaft. They rip his bag apart. They're like, what is this thing? They have no idea what it is. Phil goes through. He has like a huge drone, a red. He's got like 60 grand in camera gear. They're instantly like lighting him up too, right? There's a huge thing. And then I go through and I just like freaking cruise through. I'm like, what's up, boys? Later. Hope to see you down there.
They're like, little yeah. shit. Yeah,
they're like, you know. Like,
why didn't we give Ross yeah. a gift?
And I'm surprised, honestly, they didn't, because like that's something that Chris would love to do that to me. Yeah. Just like, good luck, Ross.
That'd be funny. Just,
I had gone. A similar thing once. I had to, it was springtime up in Revelstoke, and Timber Sled, the snow bikes, are made just like an hour north of here,
yeah.
like their headquarters. And I know those guys pretty well. And one of them said, hey, we have some demo sleds at like Interspace Water Sports. It's a dealer in Kelowna. He said, could you grab them and bring back two demo bikes?
You're like, sure. I was oh, like, boy.
I was like, yeah, any paperwork for it? He goes, no, but we'll try to email something over. I'm like, all right. So I go over the border of one sled, come back a week later with two snow bikes I didn't have.
Yeah, and, I'm like, and no papers.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, gosh. I always go through the same border crossing. There's always the same gal working there. I pull up, and this new guy comes out that I've never seen. I'm like, crap.
Like, my life is over.
And so every time you go through, like, they definitely have, like, photos of your truck, right? They run your plate, and they add photos when you go in, photos when you come back.
So, well.
Yeah, like, they know, right?
Yeah.
And here I am with these two bikes that I did not come over with. And they're like, did you buy these up here? Yada, yada. And I'm like, no. I'm trying to explain it. And somebody had sent me an email just before, but I didn't have any service, so I couldn't download the attachment. And so I'm like, showing them, like, this is from somebody at Timber Sled, you know, like, just official. I've attached a document, but you couldn't physically read the document.
It's your Wi-Fi password.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, he's, like, starting to tear the truck apart. The gal comes around the corner, and I see her, and she knows what I do.
And you're like, yeah. You have one tear going out. Your yeah. eyes, like, help.
She knows my program, like, knows what I do, who yeah. I work for. And she goes, David, oh, how you doing? I'm like, good. He's good to go. And the saving grace was, A, her, you know, her trust in knowing me. But, B, I didn't even notice it. On the forks, there was Idaho registration on them.
Oh,
so
nice.
Like they had been in the States already.
They'd been registered.
And they'd been in the States. They didn't come from Canada and they let me through, but I'm sitting there, no cell service thinking,
yeah.
Hey guys, sorry. Your bikes are stuck at the border. Figure it out. But
yeah, good luck. See ya.
Dodgeable again yeah. on that one.
Yeah. You got to have everything checked out at the border.
That's yeah. tough.
Understatement.
Cause you don't know. It's Wild West in there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Stressful place.
You ever watch the CBP shows or what is it like To Catch a?
I watched To Catch a Smuggler a lot.
Yeah, those yeah. kind of shows.
I love that. The places people are hiding stuff and how smart the Border Patrol is.
Yeah.
They've seen it all.
They've seen yeah. it all. They're not
yeah.
dumb.
Yeah.
I can't get over how well trained the dogs are.
I know.
Yeah, dogs are crazy.
I can't even get my dog to sit.
Dude,
emotional huskies.
You know what gets me just as bad as the border is the dog at the airport.
Yeah.
I know I'm good, but I'm like, what if somebody put something in my back pocket, yeah. dude? That's terrible. Like, this dog is going to rip my face off. What's going to happen?
It's the same concept as driving the speed limit and having a cop behind
oh,
you.
Oh, dude.
Just stress for no reason.
Yeah.
No reason at all.
Yeah.
Authority stresses me out.
Yeah.
The man.
Yeah.
I already got pulled over in my Ranger.
I did too the other day.
Because I guess I'm used to just like driving my truck, and he could see through my back window. And my seatbelt, it's an 88, so the seatbelt doesn't really work that well. Like, and I was literally just going, like, 5 minutes just cruising. And I didn't have my seatbelt on. I'm no, I'm sorry. It's really bad. And he pulls me over, and he goes, you know, he's like, I pulled you over because you're not wearing that thing. I'm like, oh. I'm like, well, you know, it doesn't really work. And I grab it because it won't lock. And I just go, I just shake it a bunch, and it never locks. And he goes, all right, well, try to get that fixed. And he knew right where I lived too, because he saw my address. He's like, "You're just good. You're just going to your house." So.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was terrifying. And he pulls me over. I'm like, "What is going? Are you pulling me over in the Ranger?"
Yeah,
I can't go over the speed limit in this.
Yeah, barely go the speed limit.
Yeah, I'm like, was this thing stolen? What happened?
You're like, I'm pedaling as fast as I can go.
All 2.9 liters is just ripping
to the floor.
Go, go, go!
Feeding her.
Yeah.
Oh, go. Speaking of liters, that show To Catch a Smuggler.
Yeah,
I was watching one, and I've watched it so much now that you like figure out every single method of people try to smuggle stuff.
Great.
And how the Border Patrol knows. This one dude had gosh, what was it? It was automotive, like soap, cleaning soap, in 5-gallon jugs in the semi. And half the time, the semi drivers don't even know that the truck is like hot. Yeah. And these poor dudes are just getting like their life changed, right?
Yeah.
And they suspected something. I think it was a classic. It went to this destination, which is known for drug smuggling. Triggered and all this.
Something, yeah.
And it was here for X amount of hours, so they checked it. And the dog hit on one of the 5-gallon jugs of soap. Anyways, they test it, and the soap was like liquid meth. And it was $26 million worth of meth. Gosh. Their biggest like bust in like the last 5 years. Liquid form.
Some Breaking Bad stuff right there.
$26 million.
Just when they think they figured out a new method, got them.
Pause. Not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Maybe back in the day you would have been able to, you know, make it as a drug dealer or smuggler, but today... Yeah. I just don't, odds are against you.
Yeah. There's way better ways to make money. No. Get a normal job, man.
Get a job.
That Tom Cruise movie, where have you guys seen that, where he flies them?
The ones from like Cuba to Miami
He's running guns and it's all true story too. Based on a true story. Is insane. It's crazy.
Yeah. He's got stuff buried under the house.
Yeah. It's like dude, the stress that guy had to be under, like, eventually you're going to get what's coming to you there when you're dealing with those crazy people.
Didn't he like a couple $100 million in cash? Something just
buried. He was just buried.
Wasn't he like Pablo's main?
Yeah, I think so.
Right in the infancy when they were really like.
He was like ex-military too, wasn't he, or something?
Yeah. He was a Barry SEAL.
He was flying for the CIA and.
Right.
Yeah. So he's flying guns down there and then bringing back cocaine.
Yeah.
Jamie, will you fact check this?
Yeah. Somebody Google it. Go.
I remember there's a scene in there where he was overloaded in the plane.
Yeah.
Trying to take off in like this sketchy third world country runway in the backwoods. Yeah.
And he just like, clears the trees.
Yeah. He's like ripping trees off and arguing with like Pablo directly on taking some weight out. And he's like, no, you fly now.
Yeah.
And I think you listen to him.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, okay, hopefully you're like, oh, either I fly out of here and live, he kills me and I die here, or I crash and die here. So we're going to try to fly out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think our final takeaway is we need to take a vacation.
To Colombia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take a vacation.
It was fun, boys. I'm starving. It's time for some lunch.
You getting hangry?
In a little bit. I'm getting a little moody here. Going to need to eat. But, you know, like, comment. Subscribe.
Share, subscribe.
All of the above.
Buy our merch.
We appreciate you listening. If you're on YouTube, appreciate you for watching.
Just kick it in the comments, you know, just give each other some love, make friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Share your border patrol stories for us.
Yeah, seriously. I want to hear some because I feel like this could be a reoccurring topic.
Yeah. Sure.
We could hear some gnarly ones from some people. Leave your border patrol story in the comments.
Yeah. So.
And any other constructive criticism, right? Like on what we could.
We're an open book.
Yeah, we're an open book.
We're just getting going here, boys.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you in the next one.
Au revoir.
Peace.